Well, we're going back into our teaching today. Last week, the Lord had instructed me, and I started last week. Series I taught years ago, and the Lord told me to drag it back out and teach on some things. And, you know, really, there's a lot of things from the basic standpoint that we're teaching, because really, church-wide, church worldwide, they're not doing much basic teaching about a lot of things. There's a lot of religious stuff that's going on, a lot of just men's ideas and men's plans. They're leaving the Word of God. They're using the Word of God and taking it and really twisting around. They'll take a scripture and they'll use it to justify themselves and the things that they're doing and stuff, and just take things out of context. They'll take one thing, an area of truth, and then they try to make that the whole thing. Well, it's not. There's a lot of things. It's like the walk of faith. Like a minister said one time, I was at a meeting and he was dealing with the areas subject to healing. And he said, he told the ministers there, he said, you guys, you know, he's talking mostly pastors. He said, you deal with people in your church. And he said, we're dealing with the area of health and things. And he said, a lot of you just keep telling people they just need to get in faith. And he said, if they're living dirty lives, they need to get their life straightened out. He said, their faith ain't going to ever work if they don't straighten out their lives, quit doing some of the stuff they're doing. Why? Because, you know, the Bible says this, all things work together for good. Well, you can't have some things work together for good. See, some people, I just do one part of the thing and it ought to work. There's a lot of things that are tied together. I believe in faith, but also believe you got to walk in love. You can't hold things against people. You can't walk in unforgiveness toward people on stuff. They do things, and sometimes people do ugly stuff to you. But you just got to learn to forgive, because you harbor those things. Your faith won't work in God. You'll pray and ask God to help you, and you don't get no help. And so people start a religion. Well, you know, God doesn't always answer prayer. Yes, He does. If God don't always answer prayer, what's the point in even praying? That'd be the dumbest thing in the world. I ain't going to waste my time praying if God don't answer prayer. Then they say, well, sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says later. There ain't one scripture in the Bible that ever says such a thing. That's all made up by man. That's all made up. No place in the Bible does it say that. Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you knock, He'll answer. It's, but men make up things because they get over one side. It's like Mike said, you know, they turn around they want something from God, and then they act like, well, you know, maybe God don't want them to have it. Well, what would you want something for that God don't want you to have anyhow? What would you want it for? I mean, that's dumb. You know, is God against you wanting a house? You know, you find a house that you like, and you know, no, God don't want you to have the house you like. He wants the one He likes. Well, then tell Him to live in it. I'm not going there. That's the stupidest thing in the world. Think God wouldn't want you to have the house that you want. You know, God would say, no, I don't want you to have the car you want. I want you to drive, you know, something that's too small for your family. That's what I want you to have. People don't even use good sense. God wants, God, the Bible says whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive. It didn't say whatever God desires. It says whatever you desire. If you desire it, well, then you can believe God. God don't mind you having stuff. He's good God. And so, you know, but religion turns things and makes just things out and out crazy. And we're teaching on this subject, spiritual jurisdiction. It's an important subject because it deals with lines of authority. And we need to understand this. You know, when people don't, many times people are talking about and they're saying, well, you know, this thing's up to God. It's not up to God. It's not under God's jurisdiction. The Bible lays out lines of jurisdiction. Who has authority at what? When God created, we talked about last week, when God put man in the earth, God gave man dominion of the earth. Do you know God does not have dominion of the earth? He gave dominion to man. The Bible says so. He gave man dominion over all these stuff. They say God's in control. Well, if God's in control of the earth, He has sure made a mess, hasn't He? He sure made a mess out of everything. Now, all this trouble, you mean all this, what is it, ISIS or whatever it is, this, you know, terrorist group, that's God? Is that God doing that stuff? Is God in control of that? Is God in control of the terrorists, you know? Setting off bombs in Iraq, you know, in cities and that stuff, killing women and children. That's God? He's in control? My God, if my God is doing that, I'm going to tell you, we're going to quit serving Him quick. He's crazy. God's not in control. Man is. God put the destiny of the earth in man's control. Now, man decides if he wants God's help, he can get God's help, but he's going to have to line up with God to get help from God. He can't just go follow any old crazy thing and then expect, you know, we sort of think, I can think of God like He's a cleanup man. We go make the mess, and He loves us so much, He just goes behind us, and He has one of those pans with a broom, you know, dustpans with a long handle, and he walks behind with a broom, and he sweeps up after us and cleans up our messes. Haven't you noticed that ain't been happening? That don't work. That's what God does. And we would say today, if in our earth, if we look at people, and we would take, you know, if you ever watch, you know, in a family where the parents just consistently clean up the messes of the kids and never straighten them out, what it turns out to be? Never works. They just keep making messes and making messes. Well, humanity will do the same thing. If God just does that, man will just keep making, man will never change. Why change if somebody else is going to clean up your mess? Why change? There's no reason to change. There's no reason to make a change if somebody else is going to take care of your mess. And, you know, when your children are little, I mean, when our kids are little, we did go behind cleaning up a lot of messes. But, you know, they got older. We quit doing that. We didn't clean up their messes anymore. And we have to learn those things. God's the same way. And it's not being bad, it's being good. The most wonderful thing that I found out when I came into the kingdom of God and began to learn about what the Bible says, I think it was absolutely wonderful to find out that God really wanted me to take control of things in my life. That's what He wanted. And I found this out. If you learn to walk in the things of God and use God's principles and what God has laid out for it, and you start to apply them into your life and take the responsibility, there's great blessing that comes with that. You know, we've left those things in the earth. That's why we have such a huge part of our population in America don't work anymore. Are on assistance and everything else. Well, in fact, the workers are now become the minority in America. We're supporting most of it. Why? Because they got over the thing. Hey, you don't take responsibility for your life anymore. If you listen to the teaching today and what they're doing in schools and everything, you don't take responsibility. You know, my words, we can't even have a kids play a baseball game and somebody win. No, some poor little kid will feel bad if his team loses, and we don't want anybody to feel bad because he lost. Well, there's no buy and prove. You're all a winner. Now they give everybody the trophy. Everybody gets the trophy. You're a loser and you get a trophy. I'm going to tell you what, when you get to heaven, losers ain't getting trophies. The Bible's clear on the subject. There's people who are going to go make it to heaven, but it says it's by fire. And they're not going to have any reward. Heaven don't think like they do here on earth. You think this nonsense is going on down here is crazy. You think it's good? I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out your end result ain't going to turn out well. Because you're going to find out God is nothing like the American society. He's nothing like it. He doesn't think like the American society. And so, looking into the areas of responsibility, we were talking about those things and looking into those areas. God is the one who has laid down authority in the earth and has designated authority. And we looked and read from Romans 13 and 1 through 3, where we read, it said, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." It says, "For rulers are not a terror to good, but to evil." He says, do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. Now, I'm going to tell you what, the Roman government wasn't a pleasant government to be under. See, we need to understand this. Paul wasn't talking about, you know, as people talk today and sit down and look, we realize our government today, there's just such a mess in our government today, and it is. It's because of ungodly people, but the ungodly people that live in this nation have put the ungodly people in office, and they do it because people vote people in office because they think they're going to get what they want. But what happens is they don't get what they want. They want everything for nothing, and they want to get everything they can, and if they don't get what they want, then they're all railing and mad and everything else at everybody and everything else in the government people. But we need to understand, God established lines of authority. He's the one who did it. Now, that doesn't mean everybody that's in office is God wanted them there. You need to understand, we're in control down here about who we let in. See, people make statements about like dictators rise. Well, there's a dictator, the people don't have a choice. Yes, they did have a choice. They didn't do nothing, and that's why that guy got in power. That's why it happened. We need to understand, people have choices. When you in your life make an excuse of why your problems exist, you have become the major problem in your life. We are always putting the problem is on somebody else. It's always over on something else. The reason our nation is in its mess today is because the people allowed the mess to come to just put people in office, let them control everything. That wasn't the intent. Our founding fathers, they weren't like that. They weren't. In fact, next week I'm going to put some things in concerning Thomas Jefferson in the bulletin. You'll get to read what Thomas Jefferson predicted of what would happen to America if they didn't walk right or live right is exactly what we got today. He saw into the future. You know, it's like I learned from Kenneth Hagin. You don't have to be a prophet to see the future. I can watch people, what they're doing in their life, and tell you how things are going to end up. You don't have to be no prophet. Somebody keeps doing the wrong thing, the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. And it's not, you keep doing the wrong thing, and you open the door to disaster. People have done the wrong thing and continually to do the wrong thing, and then they end up in disaster. See, God gave you and I authority, and we need to understand that. When I yield my authority and let somebody else have it, I have nothing, I have no room to complain about the way things turn out. When I put my authority into other people and say, go ahead, you go ahead and do it. See, we need to understand that, you know, you can't do that. If you do that to people, you let them have the say, where you're supposed to be taking the say, and you turn around, well, let them. Why? Because I'm lazy. I don't feel like doing it. Just let somebody else take care of me and let somebody else. The way things turn out, it is your fault. You don't ever yield your authority, the authority that God gave you. You don't ever yield it. You know, in a sense, like Mike was talking this morning, the individual saying, you know, they want a house or they want a piece of property, but what they make the statement, well, if God wants us to have it, what they're doing is they're taking the authority that God gave man in the earth to decide whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Instead of walking in that authority that's been given by God to us, the person says, whatever. What they just did is yielded that authority. I will guarantee you the devil's going to pick that authority up. He's going to say, hey, I can do something here because they don't care what happens. Whatever happens, they're willing to accept it. You know, there's spirits out there you can't see. We're living right here in a God you can't see. But if I yield my authority, when people do those things, they are yielding their authority. They don't see it as that way, but they're yielding their authority to something. And they're yielding their authority, and they don't realize there's an unseen realm out there. And in that unseen realm, there's God, there's angels, but there's also demons. And they're at work. See, I can set things in motion using my authority to allow God to help me, or I can set things in motion by laziness and just throwing my authority away and let the devil come and steal, kill, and destroy. And then turn around and say, well, if it happened, it must have been God's will because, you know, God's in control. Oh, yeah. No, you were in control and threw it away. See, we need to understand, God down here in this earth, God can do no more than man will allow him to do. Now, there is a day coming. Jesus Christ is going to come one day, and the Bible tells he's going to take over, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He ain't going to put up with none of the nonsense. He's going to return. See, with me, I think it's absolutely wonderful. But see, people who live lawlessly and throw away their authority, they think that sounds hard. Man, I'm going to be glad when Jesus shows up to rule with a rod around. Things are going to finally get straightened out. He don't have to rule me with a rod of iron. He don't have to beat me to want to do his will. I've already decided that a long time ago. I want to do his will. It's these hard-headed knuckleheads that wander around and just do their own thing. But they're going to be brought into submission by God. That day will come. I mean, we right now, we got free will. There will be a day you won't have free will. See, we got free will. Thank God. My free will now can say I can follow God, which sets a glorious future for me and you, planned by God. The Bible tells us what our destiny is by yielding to God. We have a destiny that's glorious. But it also tells us the destiny of those who don't. Now, that's not preached in the church world today because that don't sound like love. I'm sorry, it is love. You know what? If the wicked aren't punished, God's evil. God's evil if he doesn't punish. What would we think in our nation? Look at the people in our nation. They get all upset because, you know, murderers get out on the street in old time and anything else goes along. People get all mad. Well, they act like God does that. God, you know, he don't punish. Oh, no. He's love, and so he would never punish anything. The Bible says if God don't correct you, he don't love you. There needs to be correction. So God punishes. But we're dealing with this area submission to authority. In other words, God has established lines of authority, just like with government. Government was never man's idea. It was God's idea. God established rulers. So there's rulers, and God established. That does not mean that all the people who are in authority are in because God wanted them there. That falls into man's hand. We're in the earth. We determine what goes on and what happens. God gave man dominion of the earth, gave man the ability to set into this earth what he wanted. And instead, man turned around, Adam yielded to Satan. And ever since, man had been over, you know, instead of shaping the earth the way we want it, we just, through selfishness and everything else that goes on, man's unwillingness to follow the word of God, man, you know, whatever people do, and even Christian people get born again and still don't want to follow God. They still don't want, they get their own ideas and their own things about stuff. And what it does, it causes the disaster that we have in this earth. God didn't plan for leadership to ever turn out the way that it did. He never planned the leadership of America to be the way it was. Jesus Christ appeared to Randall Greer in 2008, the election. Jesus Christ appeared to him, stood up. Jesus stuck his finger up in his face and he said, "You tell the people of America they're going to get the government that they wanted. And you tell them that they're going to have 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. That's the way it's going to turn out for them." And he said, "They're going to call on me and I ain't going to listen to them." That's what he said. And man, it's happened. It's happened like he said. Why? He said the American people wanted the guy they got. They got it. And he said, now they're going to live with it. Well, that wasn't a plan. That wasn't God's plan to what we have, the authority we have in our nation. God established authority, but even the church, the majority of the church, voted for the guy God didn't want. And so we have what we have today. Thank God. I've been doing well following God, but I'll tell you what, a lot of people, even Christians, they've been doing well. They aren't doing good. A lot of people, you know, they said the average, household in America, I forget how much wealth they have lost since 2008. They said really that the wealth of people is dropping like crazy. Well, mine's been rising. I just want to let you know. Why? Because I'm following God. It's supposed to. Mine depends on God. God's bigger than the economy of America. He's bigger than what the banks and all them are doing. Hallelujah. So you need to get over and get into your thinking and begin to walk right. You need to walk over in the areas of your authority. See, most people say, "Well, today you just can't do this and can't do that." Well, that's what you say. I read the Bible. All things are possible to him that believeth. That's what the Bible says. But see, they're not talking that today. Why? Because people have submitted their authority to the government and they say the government's in control of our lives and the government rules. I'm sorry, the government's not in control of my life. Hallelujah. Thank God there's a Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God there's Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's bigger than the whole bunch. And if I can yield to him, if I can listen to him. So there's authority. One of the things that we need to know. You know, even we have a messed up authority on earth, but in our nation, but we need to be very careful. We need to watch how we do in getting over and running things down and stuff. We still need to hold a respect concerning leadership and things because God established it. God established it. And so we need to be careful in what we and how we do and how we react to things because we still need to do good. It doesn't matter what our leaders do. We need to do good. We need to do good. It's like I said last week, you know, I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company for 13 and a half years. While I worked there, you know, and you get over in the areas of, I was a group leader in our department. Lots of times, most of the time, my direct supervisor was out of the department. I ran the department most of the time on our shift. I ran it almost all the time. Well, during that time period and that stuff, and I'll say this, we had really some really bad leaders over us. But one of the things that God taught me, when I got born again while I was working there, and God began to teach me a submission to authority and in the areas of who had what authority. And, you know, sometimes our supervisors would, some of the people that were over me and that stuff and over certain areas, they would tell us sometime to do things I knew weren't going to work out. But they were in charge. You know, if they didn't ask me about my opinion on the thing, I didn't put my opinion in. That's up to them. If they want to know, they can come and ask. But I learned to know because I saw over time when people would try to put their opinion in what it turned out to be. So I just learned. I just kept my mouth shut. The Lord told me to. And so what would happen? I know things weren't going to work out, but that's what they wanted. They were in charge. And I used to tell the people, you know, that worked for me, they used to say, well, now we do this and do that. You know, that ain't going to work. I'd say, I don't care. If it's wrong, they're going to pay us twice to do it. And we'll be here in overtime, and they're going to be paying me big bucks to do it again. And they're going to be paying me. But when the hammer falls, it ain't going to come. They're going to come and say, Ed, what did you do? They're going to go to the guy who said to do it and say, why did you do that? See, I watched the payoff on that. You know, I left Reese Candy Company, and when I left there, a lot of the management was a messed up bunch. And it seemed really weird. But you know what? I learned this over time by reading the principles of God. Eventually, things get changed. They will. After I left Reese Candy Company, it wasn't within a year, they got a new plant manager. And this new plant manager came in, and within 2 years' time, people who were up at the top were down at the bottom. Walked in the door, saw what was crazy going on. Really, what almost the plant manager did was turned everything upside down from who was leading and who was following. He turned everything around. The one guy that was manager over the whole Kit Kat thing ended up in security. Just a worker in security. They told him, you either take that job or you're out. You know, he probably took a pay cut. I mean, a huge pay cut. Huge pay cut. Turned around but they went around and turned the whole thing upside down. You know, it's one thing over time, you know, things will get straightened out. And you have to learn, you know, whether you have the authority to straighten it out or not. My job was to do my job. And I learned this. You know, they thought I was this crazy Christian guy. I was this, you know, I was a religious guy. They thought I was religious and I was weird. And they talked about me. But there's one thing that they loved. They loved the fact that I was one of the best workers they ever had. I always did my job. Did what I was supposed to do. You know, and it's like I said last week, when it came out, when you walk in your authority and do what you're supposed to do, you're going to find this out. When they turn around and need a job done, they don't go get their lazy friends that they take care of because they know it'll never get done. They'll come to you. See, people say, why do they come and ask you all the time? Because they know the other guys ain't going to be able to do it. They know they can't. That's why they come and ask you to do it. You know, they might not like me, but I'm really a good employee. You know, when I left there, there's numbers of the managers, they didn't care for me because I was a Christian. Is number one, and I was a very vocal Christian. People know. They knew I liked Jesus. I don't care. I wasn't hiding in no closet. But you know, those same supervisors didn't like me. When I left there, numbers of them came to me and said, you know, we hate to see you go, man. You really did a good job here. And I said, we're losing a good employee. And I thought, yeah, you should have known that before. That ain't helping you. And I learned to do that. When I went out to... was out at Rhema, told the story many times, and this deals in the areas of authority. Again, where God put me in a position, working in a supermarket. I got a job, I was in school, but yet worked a full-time job. I was in Bible school there and working a full-time job, and I was everybody was getting raises but me. And I'll just say that, I'm not lying about it. I was the best worker they had. I never took a bunch of breaks or anything like that or anything. I took the breaks that we were supposed to have. That was it. I was on my job, doing my job. And I can say this. When I left there, they had to hire two guys to try to do my job, and the two guys couldn't do it. I worked. But I did it all the time. And my manager would not give me a raise. And I started getting over where I started stepping out of the range of my authority and started into griping and moaning and talking about him all the time and mad about it all the time and things because he wouldn't. And all his little friends that played his game, even some of them Christians, some of them went to the school, same school I did, but they were lazy. But he would turn around because they'd buddy up to him and he'd give them raises, but my manager wouldn't give me raises. And we were in a big supermarket. We sold more meat just in that supermarket, in that meat department where I worked. We sold more meat than most supermarkets sell in their whole store, some of them for 2 and 3 weeks. I'm going to tell you, we put a lot of meat out in that place. Believe me or not, I handled a lot of it working. But, you know, I started getting over there, and then one day the Lord spoke to me to correct me. He said, you need to start working for me. And I knew what he meant. I was turning around letting this thing get to me about this guy. And he said this to me, if you'll work for me, I'll pay good. I pay good. That's what he said to me. I pay good. And I said, well, Lord, I said, okay. I said, I'm going to stop this. And so I was crossed over a bounds of authority and God couldn't bless me like he wanted to. Why? Because I'm walking out of authority. I'm over here trying to, I'm instead of fussing with this guy, I'm not over here God said, you do your job. You work for me. So that's what I started to do. I just started to say every day I went to work, praise God, Jesus is my boss today. I'm going in. I'm working like crazy down here, but I'm working for Jesus and he's paying good. Well, it didn't look like the pay changed at all. And this is one of the most amazing things because it was less than a month's time. All of a sudden, people started sending checks and money to Wanda and I. We started getting money in the mail. I mean, we had told nobody anything. Nobody knew nothing, but God knows. People started sending money. Money started coming to us. We started having more money coming in than I did on my paycheck. And literally, I would forget to pick up my check at the end of the week. They would call me and tell me to come and get my check because I'd forget. Well, we had money all the time. We always had money. So I never thought about it. We always had money. So you aren't sitting there from the, oh man. I mean, before that time, I was always, man, you needed that check. I was making minimum wage, folks. Now think of this. This is back in 1987. I'm making minimum wage in 1987. And I'm going to school, you know, I mean, you don't have a lot of money left over. You're lucky if you have any left over. And all of a sudden, money started coming to us, and things just started working out. And so and when we're talking about these, God gave me bounds of authority. Now I have to walk in them. I'm over here pushing this guy in his bounds of authority. Even though he's not doing right, it ain't my job to try to make him do everything I want. It's not my job. It's not my job to, you know, he's going to have to live with this. But I saw what began to happen. So we went along and I went for a few months and this money started coming in. And one day I went to work and the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to go tell that manager, you give him a 2-week notice. And he says, I don't care what he said. The Lord said this to me. I don't care what he says to you and how much money he offers you to stay. You refuse it and you tell him in 2 weeks to that day, you tell him, you're going to leave here. He said, and he told me, you better obey. You see, now God said a thing on me. You tell him. Because I went and asked the guy, and all of a sudden, I like Ed. You know, you need a raise, buddy. You really need, yeah. All of a sudden, you need a raise. Because he knows what's going to happen. He knows nobody's going to do what I'm doing. He knows it. He knows nobody's going to do it. He knows he can't call any of his other friends that he'd been running around. They ain't going to do the job. They don't even do the little bit he's given them. They don't even do it. He knows they ain't going to tackle that stuff. So I went to him and I gave him 2 weeks and I said, in 2 weeks I'm leaving. And he said, you got to give me more time. We got to get somebody here and train. And I just looked him right in the face. I said, God told me, you get 2 weeks and that's it. I'm out of here. I said, I don't care if you have anybody trained or not. That's not my problem. That's your problem. That's his authority. Now he's going to live with this thing. This is yours, buddy. You had the opportunity. You didn't do nothing with it. Bye-bye. God said, leave. 2 weeks I left. He just couldn't get anybody. Anybody got hired, they stayed one day and left. Nobody hired. Tried two guys on the job, two guys, people left. Couldn't even do it, left. Within 2 months after that, that manager was fired. He lost his job over that thing. You see, I could have sat and fight and done all that thing in there. God did. I didn't have to get into all that fuss on there. I didn't have to get into all that. That's why you stay in your bounds of authority. It works. See, God has not been able to help a lot today. From the union standpoint, see, man got into godless standpoint. God couldn't help him, so man decided how he was going to do it to help to get what he wanted. And what has it turned out today? It ain't nothing but a mess. Now we got unions are nothing but a business within a business taking care of itself. And it does nothing but turn, and things just end up a mess. And why does it? Because, you know, instead of men trusting God to help them, and God will help you. God will do things for you. You know, just for me, learning to be obedient in those things. I turn around and that summer, money come in. The Lord told me, he said, because, you know, I was working over 40 hours. I was working 45 hours a week plus full-time school. I didn't have a lot of time in between of anything. And, but the Lord spoke to me concerning that summer because we were at the end of the first year of school. And the Lord said to me, I want you to take the summer off and spend it with your family. I thought, take the summer? I never had the summer off, man, since man, I was a kid getting jobs, you know, in school, working summers. And take the summer off? And the Lord said to me, I want you to take the summer off. I took the summer off between school. I mean, we just had a great time. Money came in the whole time. Money came in. We had money. We would help other people, give money to people and doing stuff. Money would come to us. It was absolutely phenomenal what God did. I took the summer off. And at the end of the summer, a guy came and offered me a job, making about 3 times what I had made before. And I was working 20 hours a week. He came and offered it to me. I said, come here, I'll give you a job and you can do this for me. And I said, and you know what? It was the easiest job. God's good. But learning to follow the lines of your authority, this is why it's so important. See, the church world doesn't teach us stuff. They don't teach me. They wonder why the mess we have in our nation, why the things were going on, and people don't understand. You know, it wasn't until, you know, the things that I learned in Bible school and the things that I learned from other people into these areas and things that God taught me into these areas helped me so much, because once I learned these things and these principles, because I was like everybody else. I had my nose in everybody else's business too. You know, thinking, you know, they need to straighten out and get them straightened out. I need to do this and I need to do that. If they don't do right by me, then I need to get this straightened out. And there's sometimes you have to say something to people about things or something, but many of the times we're doing it the whole wrong way, the whole wrong, you know, we got, you know, our motives for doing it's wrong and messed up. And you got to make sure that you get things right if you're going to deal with something. It's just like if we're going to talk about our leaders, there's nothing wrong with us stopping and saying our leaders are doing wrong, but we won't want to get over with a critical spirit, just hammer, hammer, hammer. Sometimes I listen to ministers on TV, they say it makes my spirit cringe to listen to things that they say because it's meanness about our government. I'm going to tell you what, I'm just going to be honest. Most of our government people are on the way to hell, and that ain't no laughing matter. They don't have nothing to do with God or care nothing about God. They're doing their thing, looking after themselves. I know their end result. My God, I feel sorry for them. You know, they can run and do all the things that they want to do now, but they're going to step off this planet one day. And when they do, and they face eternity, they're going to find out all that thing here. My God, they're gonna cry out for help and have none. It's no laughing matter. And they're doing their thing. They think, man, well, we're hurting, you know, they don't care about what they're doing, and you know, they're getting in office today. You know, guys go into office worth $20, and within a few years they're worth millions. And it's happening all the time, both sides of the aisle. These guys are doing right, they're using their influence, making a lot of money, doing all kinds of stuff. Don't much care about what the people, they tell us, oh, how much they care for us. And they don't. They care for themselves. They're afraid to open their mouths, do what's right. And, you know, I feel sorry for them. Because, you know, the chickens are going to come home to roost. And their chickens, their roosters aren't going to be like Mike's. Their roosters don't lay no eggs. Mike's roosters lay eggs. But theirs don't. The thing will come home in the end. And this is one thing. You know, walk in what's right. You know, it isn't about just getting what I want right now. There's a future. It's about my future. You know, the Bible talks about laying up treasures in heaven. You know, laying up in treasures in heaven sometimes can be like, man, I just don't see it now. I need something now. And I want. But there, you know what? You keep laying up, because heaven is for eternity. We got this short space here. We got this short space and time here. This ain't the big thing. The big thing is about my eternity. What do I have beyond? Understand, we lay up in treasures for heaven. There's people going to go to heaven, and some are going to have more in heaven than others. God don't give this communist heaven that is preached today. Everybody gets the same. No, they don't. The Bible's clear on the subject. There's people who get reward, people who don't. There's people who've laid up treasures, and they're going to enjoy things that other ones don't have. People are going to have positions of authority because they yielded to authority here. And the guy that didn't yield to authority here is going to yield to authority for eternity to people up there. Now, it ain't going to be some mean thing, but the whole thing of it is, we can have things, and we learn it down here. Here's where we live this thing. Now, I realize it can be the hard place to do it, isn't it? You're down here in your flesh and the things that go on, things that happen. But we need to yield to authority. I read from Luke 16:12, Jesus said this, "If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is yours?" See, God taught me through faithfulness to other people. That's where I had to learn. And folks, that wasn't easy. It wasn't easy submitting to it. Sorry, I don't know about your flesh, but I do know about mine. It wasn't easy. You know, authority, you don't want to. But listen, Jesus said, who's going to give you, if you haven't proved yourself with somebody else and under someone else's authority, who's going to give you yours? So when the Lord spoke to me, and I said, you know, tell the story about when he said to me, right before my graduate, in fact, it was in May of 2009 when I was going to leaving there from Raymond, the Lord spoke to me and said after graduation, he said, I'm going to put you in your own ministry. He said, you've been faithful with other people's ministries. Now I'm going to put you in your own. See, God proves this out. See, some people wonder why they never get promoted with God. He can't. They've never been faithful with anything. It's like people, unfaithful. People don't go to church. You know, they really feel like it. They don't go to church. And then have the nerve to sit down and pray and asking God to help them. They've been faithful with nothing. God ain't going to give them. This is the principle. It's the way it works. Who's going to give you your own? You know, I don't go to church just for Ed. I go to church. I want to live godly because godly people and a godly influence in this nation, the Bible tells us we're the salt of the earth. You don't live godly, you ain't salty. And you're going to be a problem in this earth. I want to live salty so I can be a help to people. I can be a light in the world. It's not just about Ed. We live godly to influence and help others. That's why we do it. People who don't want to live godly and say that they're Christian, they're trouble. They might as well go off this earth and get out of here. Because they're of no use. They're no more than a problem than they are a help. They don't see themselves in that way. You know, you ever worked around people? You wish they would leave because the job would be easier if they left? I've worked with people like that already. And I'll tell you what, loads of Christians, the majority of Christianity is in that shape today. They'd be better off having them off the earth and in it. Because they're more trouble here than they are worth anything. They're not, because why? They live like the world, selfish and self-centered. I want to live godly because a godly influence keeps this earth from rotting. Man, to me, it looks like it's rotting a lot. But I want you to think about it. Sit down and read the book of Revelation. What happens when the church leaves this earth? You talk about rot. You think it's bad today. Read the book of Revelation, what goes on after the church leaves. See, you take the salt out of the earth. See, I don't think the salt's been very salty here in the earth the way it should be. But I'm going to tell you what, even with the saltiness we got leaves, this earth's going to rot. They're going to see more trouble than they have ever thought nor dreamed of. They're going to have all they have been doing come to fruit. They're going to start reaping everything they sowed. Not pretty. Not a pretty sight. Not a pretty sight. See, that's why I want to be salty while I'm here. You got to be salty here for the sake of other people. That's about walking in love. We follow God. See, some people think, you know, guys like Ed Gibson, that we're the trouble with this world. Because all they're over there with their religious talking, blah, blah. They can turn around things. I'm going to tell you what, the devil would have probably done killed them and been in hell if it wasn't for guys like me. We keep the devil from doing all that he wants to do. See, when you walk with God and you're faithful toward God, you can ask Him. Look in the scriptures where people interceded for, where men and women interceded for Israel, and God stopped destruction to the nation because somebody interceded for the nation. I'm going to tell you what, America, if it wouldn't be for the Christians that are salty in America, America would already be a defeated nation. It wouldn't even exist today. Other nations would have already overrun this thing. And the only reason they have, they can talk all their power and all they want. We can't even win a war today. Man, we can't win a street fight with an army. And the reason we can't is ungodliness. And we only stand today because there's people crying out to God and say, God, don't give America what it deserves. Help us, Lord God. And I tell you, for their sake, I know God has done for me already in praying. And has told me, because I asked Him to do something, He said, I'll do it because you asked. But I can't do it because of that person. I won't do it for them. But He said, I'll do it for you. See, I want to be in that and live to a place where God will say to me, I'll do that for you. When you ask me to do something for somebody, even though they don't deserve it, I'm going to help them out. Most Christians out here, God couldn't do that to them because He can't even help them out. And see, this is why we live right. This is why we walk right. They've made Christianity into a game. And it's not a game. Man, I'm going to tell you, this is a war for people's lives. This is for the future of humanity. This is heaven or hell. And man, I want people to go to heaven. I want you to read your scriptures over in 2 Peter. Now, 2 Peter is a very popular book for people to go read all the time. But it talks about ungodly people and what they're doing. And we want to see about this. I'm going to, in 2 Peter, the second chapter, Peter's talking about ungodly people and what they're doing. And then he explained some things, but I'm not going to read back through the whole chapter in there, but I'm just going to cut in on verse 10. In the second chapter, 2 Peter, it says, "And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." Now, the New King James says dignitaries. I think the King James says dignities or something like that. But actually, this word here is the Greek word doxa. You know, the doxology. We sing the doxology. That word is the word almost all the time translated glory. And I've not yet found a place where they translated something else where you wouldn't put glory in. What did he say here? He said they're not afraid to speak evil against glory. And we're dealing with the areas of authority. Listen what he goes on to say. Verse 11, "Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reveling accusation against them before the Lord." Now he said that an angels who they have more might. Really, the word there says greater power. That word power is issues, and that would probably read either ability or strength. The word there that they have might, that's the word dunamis, which is the word that we get the word dynamite from. In other words, he said these angels, they have more ability, they have more power. These angels do, and they said they don't bring an accusation against these people, these ungodly people doing this ungodly stuff. They don't accuse them. So we need to understand this. See, angels have areas of jurisdiction of power, and they don't step out of bondage. They don't go to God and say, "Hey, God, that guy's messed up over there." Why? It's none of their business. That's not theirs. That's not their authority. He said they don't bring a railing accusation against the individual. So you need to understand. See, people, he said, I want you to think about this. An angel would have the power, the might, to overcome that individual. But they don't. We talked about that last week. Just because you have power, power without authority is really rebellion. You take your power and you go use it where you don't have authority, that's rebellion. That out there is just out and out trouble. When you turn, just because you have power to do something, you don't do it. Do you have the authority to do that? You know, I watch people who step over, "Well, I know how to do this job or that job," and it's not within their job, and they get over there and get in there sticking their nose in where they shouldn't be doing. Just because you can do it, you don't go do it. You have the authority to be doing that. See, and you don't cross those lines. Angels don't cross those lines. They stick within the boundary of their authority. Now, I want you to read to you, if we go to Hebrews, the first chapter, concerning angels, and you'll find out what angels are, concerning the authority of the angels. Now, I want you to think about these angels. See, this is where Lucifer got in trouble. If you go back and read in the Old Testament, it tells us about Lucifer, his fall through pride. He was an angel with a lot of power, a lot of glory and beauty, and he fell. Why? He stepped out of his range of authority, decided he could be God. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous. The guy that created him and made him what he was and gave him the authority as he thought he could run him. Well, I mean, that's absolutely stupid. But I want to tell you what, I watch people do this stuff all the time. Somebody gives them authority or something, the next thing you know, they're trying to run the company, and next thing you know, the guy's fired because he don't realize the guy that owns the company, he has the last say. But they think because they got a little bit of authority, now I can go around, turn around, do what I want. They become idiots. Don't do that. Understand your range of authority. It's like my dad, I remember telling my older brother, told him he went and got a job at a place, and he said to him, "Now you're going there and getting a job." He said, "That's that man's business, it's not yours." He didn't ask you to come and work for him, you went to him and asked him for a job. Now, he gave you a job. If you don't like it there, you leave. You don't stay there and fuss and you don't do your stuff. You leave if you don't like it. He didn't ask you to come. I've always followed that all my life because it's good wisdom. People get into a place because I work here. Well, now they ought to do this for me. They ought to do. They start all this stuff. We wonder why things are so messed today. We got a government just like the people, rebellious, trying to usurp authority all the time. Everybody owes me something. Nobody owes me nothing, and you, nobody owes you anything either. Get over it. We start looking at people. Everybody owes me something. Nobody owes me anything. Dear Lord, I have a God who promised to take care of me. He can take care of me better than you can. So get over it. Everybody wants to own somebody. It's like a guy years ago came to me and said, I didn't do what he wanted to do in a church. He's going to leave the church. And he said, when I go, my money goes. He was the largest giver in the church at the time. And I looked him right in the face and I said, if you're here next Sunday, I'm going to tell the people what you said to me. He said, you do that? I said, I'll guarantee you. I said, I don't want you here. You get out of here, you scumbag. He went down and there's a big church and they took him in. Knowing exactly what he did to me. They took him in because they money. Oh, yeah. We want the money. I don't want the money. I don't want that rebellious, devilish idiot sitting around trying to use his money to buy what his devilish stuff he wants to do. I can't be bought. And I'm going to stay that way. I can't be bought. You'll never amount to anything as a Christian because the devil will pay for whatever price you're willing to accept. The devil will pay the price for you. He'll get it. He'll make sure you get it. I tell you what, he ain't going to have me. The love of money is the root of all evil. Hey, I like money. I ain't got nothing against money. Money's good, wonderful tool. But I ain't in love with money. Because I know what happens if money becomes the thing that draws you to what you do. You can't let it. It's like the guy, I have a book, a guy who's a multimillionaire. Well, he's multimillionaire. I guess he's probably close to a billionaire. Down in Australia. And he's a Christian man. He said, I never took a job or did anything in my life for money. He said, I always did it because it was in my heart to do. He said, I've started businesses and done things. People told me, that won't work. You won't make any money out of it. He said, I'm not doing it to make money. He said, I just love doing this certain thing. I'm going to do it. And he said, money has always followed me. See, that's what you want. That's what God told Israel. God told Israel, if you obey the law, do all these things I tell you to do. If you do them, he said, you'll be blessed going in and coming out. You'll be the head. You won't be the tail. See, he didn't tell them, you're going to have to try to get some money. No, he told them, this is the way it turns out. This is what happens. In other words, this good stuff comes after you. This good stuff comes to you because you do these things. Now, they ain't like pulling up at McDonald's. You start doing good things and where's the check in 15 minutes? That ain't what happens. But I tell you, set down a pattern of life to start to do what's right. Stay within your bounds of authority and walk in them. And I will guarantee you, if God would bless Israel under the law the way that he did, what would he do for you and me under grace? If he did what he did, the Bible says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It don't say that concerning the people under the law, but it says it concerning us. Hallelujah. See, when we follow these lines of authority, but I want you to read here in Hebrews because it says about these angels. In Hebrews, the first chapter in verse 13 tells us something about angels. This speaking of man and concerning the Christ, when Jesus came into the earth, he was a man. And so we need to understand it. We need to identify with this, what he's talking about here, because this is prophetic, said in the Old Testament, but it was speaking concerning man, not just the Christ. It's speaking concerning man. Listen, he says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? I want you to think about this. The Bible says concerning you and I. See, people say, well, that's Jesus. Doesn't the Bible say that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? See, it's us. So you need to identify yourself with Christ. That's what the church needs to do. We need to see what we really are. See, when we step outside of lines of authority, what we do is we lower ourselves. We step out. We step off the throne to go sit in the seat of men. Don't do that. Now listen to what he says. Are they, he's speaking of angels, these angels, you know, these angels, the ones that he said, I never said to an angel, you sit at my right hand. I never said that. But God did say that to you. You sit at my right hand. He said that to mankind. I want man to sit at my right hand. That's what he said. Now this he says, are they, those angels, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will be heirs of salvation? What is the angel's job? The angels are to minister for the heirs of salvation. Bible tells us in the New Testament, we're the heirs of salvation. You were born again. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. You're the heir of salvation. What is the angel's job? To minister for you. Now, they have more might and more power that they operate in because of being spirit beings and not tied into a body in this side. But they're hold their things. In a sense, we're their employers. We're the ones that God sent them and gave them. Their area of authority is to minister for you. Most angels don't have a job to do because they ever gotten one to do. People are sitting around talking that nonsense like Mike said today. Well, you know, if it's God's will, we'll get that over there. Say no. See, the angels can't bring you something. They can't work for you when you have just said, we ain't going to do nothing. We ain't believing nothing and we're not doing nothing. There's nothing for them. We need to, you know, the church world in the past has preached about the greater, you know, influence that demons have on people. Well, I believe this. I believe angels have greater influence on people, can have greater influence on people than the devil. Because we found out about them. They got a lot of power in mind. They're big deals. In the realm of the spirit, they got a lot of influence. The angels have more influence than demonic powers do, if you will let them, and if you'll start to talk the right things and say and believe the right things about them. And those are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. Angels are specifically under, God has put them under to help the church. They're really working for us. And you know, even we do dumb things, they don't go to God, God, why'd you give me this job with this idiot? When they probably would have been right if they said it. I bet there's sometimes an angel sat around and said, man, this guy's a jerk. God, could you please get me with somebody else so I could do something? This Ed character, I don't know about him. Well, don't laugh, he said about you too. So, but so they're there to help us. That's what they're there, the influence. That's why it says, now just think there, they were sent, as far as the angels are concerned, every man is destined for salvation because Jesus, he died for all. Now everybody hasn't stepped into it. They won't even make of an accusation to God about a sinner. You know, everybody born in this earth, I don't care sinner or saint, you have a guardian angel. There is one who is sent specifically that is one. Now, there's more than that will help you out. But there's an angel assigned to every human that's born into this earth. If you read from a scriptural standpoint, you'd find out it was true. Everybody in this earth. Kenneth Hagin, when he visually saw his, Jesus appeared to him. And he said, this big angel come walking up. He said it was about 10 feet tall. He said, this big angel stood there. And he said to Jesus, who's that? He said, that's your angel. Jesus said, didn't you ever see the scripture says that your angel's ever before my face? He said, that's your angel. He said, my angel. Yeah, he said, that's your angel. He said, you think when a child's born, they get an angel and you grow up and he leaves? No, he said, you got him for a lifetime. He's with you. Lots of times don't know, have nothing to do because... So we have an angel. You know, people go, well, man, I'll tell you, you can feel the presence of the devil around here. Well, I'll tell you what about the angels? You ever sense the presence of the angels? I have. There's angels. And we need to know that angel is sent to help you. He is there for that purpose. That's why one time when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, told him about finances. He told him that all the money that you need is down here in the earth. He said, everything you need financially of whatever things that you need is all here in the earth. He said, they're not up here in heaven. He said, God doesn't, he's not up here, you know, printing off counterfeit money and sending it down to the earth. He don't do that. He said, Lord Jesus said, he's not a counterfeiter. He don't do that. He said, everything you need's down here. He said, the devil, being the god of this world, system, which we'll talk about, teach later on, the god that we're going to talk about his domain and where his jurisdiction lies. He's down here. He said, you have authority over him. He said, well, you need money and finances down here. He said, you claim what you need. Well, whether it be money or maybe you need a certain thing, just like these people wanted that house. They have the right to claim that house. They have that right to do that. Oh, well, I don't know if we can do that. They had the right to come in. He said, he spoke to Kenneth Hagin because Kenneth Hagin was hurting financially. He wasn't having enough money to support his family. He said, you claim the amount of money you need. And he said, you tell the devil to get his hands off of your money. So you need to understand this. The devil is just right now. One of the things that's been going on in this earth, the devil has been pushing all this money over into these billionaires and stuff that have been following along with our government. You know how these guys have been getting so rich? That's the devil pushing money over into them. And the reason he's allowed to do that, because the Christians don't do nothing about it. They've been told, well, whatever will be, will be. Well, you know, if it's God's will for me to have this, then I'll have it. Well, they never get it. They never get it. And he said, you tell the devil to get his hands off of your money. There's money in this earth that specifically belongs to me. And it's mine. And you know how much of it belongs to me? As much as I can believe for. People don't realize that. They'll say, well, does God want you to be a millionaire? I believe God wants everyone. Look. Everybody talks about going to heaven, streets of gold. You know, God wants us to live in heaven, streets of gold, beautiful, and all that stuff, but a slumlord down here. Dear God, the Bible talks about heaven in the earth. God wants some heaven down here. You know, God don't mind people have money. He just don't want money to have you. And that's where you want to be. I don't want money just to accumulate a bunch of money. Man, there's some wonderful things I want to do. I'll tell you what, to me, just a wonderful thing. Somebody needs, travel here or there, or go there, go buy them a car, go buy them an airplane, go buy what they need to carry out the will of God instead of sitting around and grumbling with all these stupid banks that are turning around, run by the government, wanting to stay in your life. Everybody and his brother, we think we can't get past this stuff. The reason we haven't walked in the light of the truth. He said, you tell the devil to get his hands off of your money. And he said, then you send your ministering spirits, you tell the angels to go and influence people and bring it in. Well, he said he had never heard of such a thing. He said, what are you talking about? Me telling the angels to do something. And the Lord took him over the scripture I just read. He said, they're ministering spirits. They're sent to minister for you. That's what they're for. They're to minister for you. They're supposed to do stuff for you. See, most people think they'll minister to you. That's what he said minister for you. When I finally got the revelation on that, I'll tell you, it just changed things about me concerning those kinds of things. As you get over there in that area, that your ministering spirit, these angels, they're there. They want to do stuff. They're waiting for us to believe God. They're waiting for us to stand on the Word says, the Bible says this. Praise God, I'm going to have that in my life. And glory to God, what happens? Angels go to work to make sure that that thing comes to pass for you. They begin to work in those areas. That's what they're sent for. Well, let's do it. See, but they have reins of authority. They have an areas of authority. And so God put them under there. But I want you to get into the area, the thing to realize that in that area of authority, even though they're so strong and they're so powerful, that an angel, if an angel will not make a railing accusation against a wicked man to God, then I need to be a little more cautious about what I do and what I say, shouldn't I? But understand, we're in a position. It's like the Bible say, we're a little bit lower than the angels. And that isn't what the scripture says. That's a mistranslation. The word says a little lower than the Greek word Elohim. Elohim is the word for God. It's not angel. It's God. Never translated angel. It's only that place. Well, see, I believe this. I believe people got over and they just couldn't imagine that God would put us in a place just to be a little bit lower than Him. That's exactly. Why do you think God wants us in heaven? Because we're of the same kind. We're created in His image and His likeness. And that's why God views man. See, when God sees man, God didn't see man as some worthless thing. Who wants to save those crazy idiots and all the crazy stuff they've done? Who wants to save them? God did. Because God saw man that He created like Himself. And He wasn't going to let the devil run off with him. He didn't want it to. He wants to deliver man. He wants man to spend, his eternity in glory with Him. That's what He wants. That's what He's interested in. And so we need to be, if angels are operating right, so we get a picture of angels where people can begin to see, angels just don't operate under their own authority and do whatever they want. And that's why we know from the Bible when people go over and read and the Bible talks about where they did a translation, when people talk about the sons of God back in Genesis came down, they said the sons of God, talk about them having sex, producing children with the sons of men. People get over into things thinking, well, that was angels. Well, it couldn't be, because angels don't have the authority to step the bounds. They would have to be devils to do that. That's what the devil did. He stepped the bounds of authority. It wasn't talking about angels there. The sons of God means the ones that were following God. The earth got into a mess because there was a group that were following God. There was a group that didn't. And when what happened is because guys on this side following God got looking over at the ungodly women and said they look good and started joining with them. And the next thing you know, they produced an ungodly generation off of them, which led to the flood. Which the earth got so wicked. That wasn't angels. If angels could have sex with humans today and produce kids, they would still be doing it, folks. There's nowhere we have in scriptures that bounds of authority change. But see, when people get in their religious minds and when you don't understand the stuff that I'm preaching, you'll come up with weird ideas. See, you and I are in a position of authority that God has given humanity. It is beyond my imagination what God has given us. I'll tell you what, sometimes my mind just goes tilt. I think, my God, why would you give me dominion over the earth? What on earth would anybody in their right mind do that for? But he did. But see, I'll tell you what, God is a God of faith. He wants you to have faith. But you know what? We don't just have faith in God. God has faith in us. God has handed us so many. He blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's already done that. Just think about it. He did that for humanity before you and I were ever born. He did that when he raised Jesus from the dead, that anybody that would believe on Jesus, they would be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And you and I weren't even born yet. He's got to be a God of faith. I'll tell you, he's got to be a God. He has to have confidence in us. God has more confidence in us than we do. And so this is why I like hanging out with God, because he made me into something I could have never been. If I'd have followed man, I think, you know, when people say, well, you know, you can't be like God. Well, not the sense, I'm not the creator like God, but don't really, the Bible tells us clearly we're supposed to walk like he walked. The Bible tells us, we've read the scriptures before, be imitators of God like dear children. God thinks you and I can act like him. He's incredible. But you know what? He gives us the ability to do it. All we got to come to is a place to start believing this stuff is true and just not some nice goosebump feel good when we read the Bible. Aren't these nice scriptures? Isn't it nice what God said? It ain't nice. It's true. It ain't. Thank God it's nice, but it's more than nice because it's the truth. It's what God has done, and we got to grab a hold of it as being the truth. Hallelujah. I don't have to usurp authority. I probably have only used a smidgen of what I was actually given. Why would I want to get over in somebody else's business? God has given. You know, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, I've been meditating on that lately. And you know what? My brain keeps going tilt. Ding, 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 ding. There's a little bell that goes and said, you know, and a red light flashes. It's like, whew, that's hard to think about, you know. All things are possible to him that believeth. I mean, just that God said that. Jesus made that. He said, I don't say anything that God don't say. And he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Say, my words, I want to go there. I want to go to that place. See, when I realize if I can do that, I can change my life. I can change other people's lives. I can help people. I don't have to usurp authority. I got to walk in the authority that I have. And I found this out. I'm pretty busy trying to walk in what I got. It's kept me pretty busy over time trying to do that. I just want to encourage you today in these areas. This is not to, don't take these things that we're talking about, these lines of authority. Don't get down on yourself. But we need to deal sometimes with the negative side of what happens when you get over into these things, what you do wrong, because it's so you don't have that happen to you. It isn't God's intent for bad to happen to you. It's never his intent. God's intent's always for good to happen to you. That's what he wants. His intent's good. He's planned good for you. You know, I know this in my own life. I've had bad sometimes, but I found out that I caused myself some problems, you know. I used to like to believe it was somebody else who did it, but I found out that I was causing me problems, and I had a change in what I walked in and what I did. One of the areas that we have to do is like this bounds of authority. This is not everything, but it sure does help. When one gets over in the areas and learns how to submit to the authority that they have and walk in it and stay off the bounds of authority of another person, you know, because we have a lot of, you know, today, they talk about it, you know, it says, you know, people always trying to control and that stuff. People are always trying to control things and always trying to control other people. Those are people that are always outside their own bounds of authority. I was never called, and God never called any of you to control somebody else's life. It's not my job. I can't do that. Number one, I don't have the authority. If God can't control you, what's a good chance that Ed could? Think about it. God won't even step the bounds of authority to make you do what he wants. He would, if he would, wouldn't he step over and make everybody accept Jesus? Well, he don't. Why? Because he won't step there. And so I don't want to step there. Now, we need to understand at different periods of our life, there are different areas. Like our children, my kids were little. You know, my children are married now. They're not under my authority. They're not under my authority anymore. And it don't matter if they wouldn't be married. They're old enough, they're under their own authority. And I can't step across. I can't pray and get everything for them or make things happen. I can't do it. Now, they could turn around and join together with me or submit to me to do something. That's fine. But they can't. I can't control everything. Now, as they're growing up, Jesus said, our children growing up, when they were little, we controlled much more about their areas of authority. But as they got older, they proved themselves as trustworthy. We started letting them begin to have say concerning under their authority about things. And I can say with our girls growing up, they really did well. They did really good at following in the lines of a boundary. And they learned how to do stuff. We got to the point with our girls in high school. We didn't have to be after them all the time about who they were with. I want to say they were good at picking our friends. They knew who to hang with, who not to hang with. They knew what was right. They would do it. And, you know, it was and because they were taught bounds of authority. And when they proved themselves, the worst thing I watch parents do, kids are untrustworthy. And then they say, well, we're going to let them try and do that. Forget it. That's a waste of time. If they haven't proven themselves in the authority they had, you don't give them 2 inches of rope. You don't do that. That's stupidity. You know, If my kids live like hell and don't live right, they can forget any kind of inheritance. I ain't giving it to them. They don't live right. They don't, you know, they wouldn't want to work or want to do things. They ain't inheriting nothing. Why? If a guy ain't been faithful a little bit, what do you think he's going to do? If they're living like hell and you gave him a bunch of money and gave him a house and stuff, what it's going to turn out to be? You're just guaranteeing them hell. You're going to make sure they get there maybe quick. Folks, this is good preaching nonetheless. It's Bible, but we don't believe in the Bible. We just believe whatever our society does. You know, they're my kids and I got to take care of that. No, they ain't. If they ain't faithful with little, I ain't giving them a lot. Out of God telling me, and they're going to have quite of an inheritance to give. And they're going to give it to their ungodly kids and they're ungodly. I'm going to tell you what. And those kids are just going to go off to hell because they've just been handed them. So they're going to give them to them. Yeah, oh, that's going to work out nice. Yeah, I'll tell you, they're sure going to follow Jesus. Would you think it'd be right to hand a guy a paycheck who don't ever come to work? Well, why would you do it to your kid? Don't ever do what they're supposed to do and keep giving them stuff. Why such paganism? And it's pagan. If it's somebody else's kid, you'd say they ought to stop that, but it's mine, then I can do ridiculous and it's all right. It's good preaching, folks. Hey, we got to deal with it. We got to deal with it. I'll tell you what, I love my kids. And I'll tell you what, I ain't going to help them kill themselves. I love them. I know how to say no. And you know why? Because I have a God that has said no to me already. Why? Because He loves me. He loves me. And I want to tell you what, He loves you. I tell you, walk in the light of what the Word says. Could you imagine how our society would be different today if people did? You know, if children weren't rewarded for doing evil and still getting rewards, our kids would be different. Our kids would be different. When they do evil, we still go do a bunch of good things. We don't ever stop and say, look, you did that wrong. You ain't getting this and getting this. You ain't going to have what you had, you know. We don't do it anymore. You know, well, we just do it to our kids. You know, their birthday comes, go buy them. Well, it's their birthday. I don't care if they've been done, I'm causing trouble. It's going to be a bad birthday. Because I ain't buying them a bunch of stuff while they're doing evil. I ain't doing it. I'm going to tell them there's a cost. There's a cost in life. Things, you know, and they learn that. See, they go down to an employer, they wonder why. You know, they go to work 2 days a week and they want a full week's pay. So let's get a union in so I can get a huge amount of money per hour so I only have to come to work a couple days a week and I can still get a good-sized paycheck. We had people worked at Reese's were like that. We had a number of women that would do that. You know, they'd go to work and make pretty good money in 3 days because they paid good. And then they didn't come to work half the time. Then they started firing people for not coming to work and they thought it was terrible. Then it's getting awful. What do you people do it does? But you understand, you know, you can't reward people because it leads to evil. That company wasn't being bad. That person needed to learn that lesson. They needed to learn that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're not going to get reward. When they learn that, those people then turn around. It'll change their life. If they go to another job someplace else and find out it's the same, then after a while, you know, I got to change the way I go to work. But if you got places out here that you can go to work, they don't care. Well, then nothing ever changes. Let me just say this in closing. This is really interesting. Our government paid for a study, and it was done by our treasury. They did to find out about people and getting jobs. And they just did a study. It was bought out here probably less than a month ago. I don't know if any of us heard about it or read it. They found out that when they quit giving people unemployment benefits, most of them found jobs. They said that by giving all these unemployment benefits that they're giving, they're keeping people from going to work. Now, you notice the media didn't push that report. While that report came out, the Democrats and Republicans were sitting down in Washington with that report out, talking about extending benefits. Why? They got people down for years, have been sitting and not working, collecting money. And they wanted, we got to do it longer. They said, but when they stop, these people get jobs. Isn't that amazing? I found this out. I like eating. So we better do something so we can eat. I've gotten used to this. I've been doing it pretty regular, you can see. But I plan on keep doing it. I'm going to tell you what. You wouldn't want me to be president because the free lunch would be over. I believe in helping people. There's people who need help. But I don't help the lazy. I'm a believer if you don't work, you don't eat. If you can work, you work. If you don't want to work, that's up to you. Pick it out in your life of what you want to do. But we don't take somebody else's money to support them so they can sit and do what they want. We won't do that. Why? Because we destroy their lives. We destroy their lives. And we don't want to do that. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our God's good. Our God's good. It's just like the word said, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good.